Welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Awesome. So, we've got a few minutes to get, kind of let God do a little bit more in our lives. Is that okay? I've found that actually, it's not about the amount of time, it's about the amount of contribution. What I mean by that is God can do a lot in a moment. Loads and loads of times in the Bible, there's this word, suddenly! Oh, hello. Suddenly! And then in that suddenly, which doesn't take very long, everything can change. So hang on to your seat, but do not hang on to your past. Hang on to your seat, but look to your tomorrow, because suddenly is about to come into our midst in a fresh way in these next few moments. Is that okay? Just turn to the person next to you and make sure that they look excited. First, make sure they look alive. Just make sure they're breathing, they look alive. But I'm really, really excited. As you're doing that, just to encourage me, I want to read an email out from Leon. I haven't read it yet. What's the matter with you lot? So this is from Leon. It says this. Our little baby girl, Victoria, says hello to the whole Worthing congregation. Now, that's not strictly true. What she actually says is, bonjour, to the whole strict. That's actually what she says, okay? So, okay. She can't come this morning because she has some stuff to do to finish at the hospital with her mummy and daddy, but she is with you anyway. Have a blessed day. That's cool, isn't it? Sorry? That was amazing. Not only is she talking, but she knows how to use an iPad. It's brilliant. These French babies, they're on it, aren't they? Vive la France and all that kind of stuff. Just want to share some thoughts with you. And again, I know God is going to do something very suddenly. And I just kind of, as I've been just thinking and praying over the book of Acts, which is, as a church, we're working through a little bit in the book of Acts. Why? So that we can get a flavor of how did Jesus move from spending time with 12 people into reproducing that through a lot of people, but without losing who he was. Because I don't know about you, but as Richard was saying, we started this small group, a year ago, and there were 12 of us that started. I think that was pretty much every week. There was 12, 13, 14. But I've found that in God, you don't have to give less of yourself because there's more people to give to. But actually, as you give yourself, it multiplies out according to the number of people you want to give to. In other words, Jesus didn't love the 3,000 that got saved in the book of Acts any less than the 12 that came and followed him, because he just enlarges everything to meet the needs of everybody that comes to him. Is that okay? So there's about 65, 70 people here, but Jesus' love for you and love for me is extraordinary big. It's huge, massive. It's off the scale of our love experience, and his love doesn't diminish because we get bigger and bigger and bigger. As his love just multiplies, but it remains as strong. Now, human love doesn't work like that. I don't know about yours. Mine doesn't work like that. Is that, you know, you can love a certain number and then suddenly it becomes a bit more of a choice. Then suddenly it becomes a bit of a rejoice or rejoice. And then suddenly it's like, actually, I don't know whether I can keep loving all these people. But God's love doesn't ever come to that point. He will always love according to his nature, not according to the number. So even if there was just me in the room this morning, God loves me perfectly. The fact that there are 70 people here, he loves you all perfectly. Not 1/70th, but 70 times more, probably. That's the amazing thing about God's love, isn't it? Richard says yes. Any more yeses across the room? Anybody want to agree? But what I want to just think about is this. A few scriptures are going to come up behind me because Laura is on it like a car bonnet this morning. I've given her loads of scriptures. She said, what are they? And I said, yes. I didn't do that. But we find that this love, this amazing journey that God brought the early church through, helps us to understand that God doesn't leave anything to chance. Nothing. That somehow in God's economy, all things can be used. All things can work together. All things can produce what God wants to produce. You and I know, because we've read Acts 1, 2 and 3, that at the beginning of Acts, the number of people that God wanted to use wasn't enough. There were one missing. And I just love this kind of parabola that Jesus spoke about when the one sheep went off, is that Jesus loved the one as much as the 99. And in the same way, Jesus was about to demonstrate, I love the one as much as I do the 11, but there's one missing. We haven't quite reached our quota. So those of you that are Old Testament scholars will know that back in the day, they had a little black stone and a little white stone, and they used to pray, and whichever one came out of the pocket first was the decision. You know that, don't you? It's the Urim and the Thummim. You know that because you're all clever people. Did you not know that? Anybody not really bothered either way? Because the amazing thing about the book of Acts is it shows you and me that God doesn't use any exterior stones anymore. He wants to give the wayer of our hearts, the director of our purpose, called the Holy Spirit. And Acts 1 is the end of an old way of God directing and a beginning of a new way of God directing. You and I don't need to go to God and say, there's a bit of rabbit. Where's some salt? We don't have to do anything like that. As a black cat, we don't have to believe in chance. God is not a God of luck. He's a God of destiny. God is not a God of luck. He's a God of predestiny. So in this economy, it didn't catch God out, Acts 1. He just said, actually, okay, use this method, but it's the last time you use this method, and it was. Because as we begin to journey together through the rest of the book of Acts, whenever God wanted to appoint people like you, like me, he said, pray, ask me, and I'll tell you. Now, we all know that that's a bit, okay, that's what we normally do, right? But remember, these guys have never done church before. So one of the things which, if you're at the Vision Evening, you would have heard us say that. Hopefully you've managed to borrow a CD and listen to the message. But over these next months, we're going to be putting some people into new roles and new responsibilities in this congregation. But it's not because, oh, let's get a coin out and toss it. If it's heads, it's them. And if it's tails, it's them. No, through a journey of praying and fasting and saying, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? We believe that God is going to put the right people in the right place at the right time. And you are some of those people. Just turn to the person next to you and say, I didn't know that. You are here for such a time as this, Esther says. You are here not just to be part of what we're doing. And if you come to Discover One today, which hopefully many of you will, to find out, well, who are you? Where do you come from? Is that I've discovered in kind of journeying with Jesus a little bit, is that in one sense, where I've come from doesn't make any difference to where I'm going. But on the other way, the faithfulness of God, which I've seen on that journey, does make a difference to where I'm going anyway. In one sense, the journey that I've had and you've had to bring us up to February the 7th, 2016, God can work without it. But when you look back at how God has moved and how God has blessed and how God has brought us suddenly into our world, how God has moved us and positioned us, it just reminds you and me that God is the same yesterday, and we know how we did it yesterday, which means he is going to be the same today, which means we don't have to worry about tomorrow because God never changes. So we know that in this kind of initial bit of Acts is that God is just reinforcing through the way he does things a scripture that came up a bit later in the book of Ephesians, which says this, is going to come up behind me. For he chose us in him before the creation of the whole world. That is not random. That's deliberate. That's got loads of purpose around it. That has got a lot of intentionality around it. Is God chose us, which is just a load of me sat in the room. God chose you. He chose me before. Now, there's a lot of stuff that comes around creation, and depending on our view and depending on who influences the most, we'll have a different view on creation. The point isn't the view. The point is that before God made anything, he chose you. Over the face of the whole of time and space, God reached out and said, I'm having you. I'm going to use you. I'm going to come and live in you. I'm going to come and give you my spirit. I'm going to come and revive you in your heart. I'm going to come and remove the old from the new. I am going to have my way in you. And not even creation is going to stop it. I have no idea which parts of creation have touched your life since you were born. All I know is that even before that, God chose you. That's the power of God's choice. That's the power of God's choice. It goes on in a little bit later. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to a plan who works out everything. Just say everything. God works out everything. How amazing is that? How many of you have tried to work out something? No hands in the room. I cast that lying spirit out in the name of Jesus. How many of you have tried to work out something? Isn't it feeble in comparison to God who works out everything? Woohoo! But here's the challenge of the book of Acts. Is that although God works out everything, and although we're chosen, God wants to work out everything through someone. God wants to work his massive everything, all of his plans, all of his strategies, all of his design, all of his creativity. He wants to work everything out through someone. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those someones. I don't know how it works. I can't always comprehend it. Some of it is just like you're joking. But all I know is that God has said, I'm going to work out my everything, my entirety. I want to work out through someone like you. Okay, you've all gone quiet in the room now. What that tells me is that God has more faith in me than I have in me. God has more confidence in what he knows I can do than I have confidence in what I know I can do. But then I'm applying that thought like you do out of the creation that I've experienced, whereas God isn't. God is looking and saying, I don't care where you come from. I know where you're going. I don't care what you brought to the table, you're going to leave full. This is what we got to understand about the early church. There was no smart people in the early church. There was a whole bunch of people that had no idea of who God was other than a religious book. And then suddenly God intervened and turned the book the right way up. Well, he's doing the same today. Today, God is doing exactly the same. So what kind of people were the church? This is kind of one of the thoughts I've been kind of praying about, chatting about. And I've just pulled out some thoughts. The first one I've mentioned, they were called and they were chosen. And that sense of destiny made them people of tremendous confidence in God and no confidence in themselves. Because they suddenly realized, actually, it doesn't matter where we've come from. What matters is God said, I can work with this. I can use that. I can change you on the journey. Because there was all number of people. The 3,000 people that gave their lives to Jesus were all kinds of people from pretty much every spoken tongue tribe there was in humanity in that day. I have no idea who they all were, but I just know that God knew. And suddenly God came into their random lifestyle and put his creative work and plan. So we're called and we're chosen. I believe that was part of the early church. I think a second dynamic was this. Matthew 3:11 says this. This is John the Baptist speaking. I baptize you with water for a changed life, for repentance, but one comes after me who is much more powerful, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. What? I like fire. Anybody else like fire? Yeah, we don't actually. I think we like the concept of fire and the warmer glow fire. If I had hair, it'd be standing on end right now. I think we like that. But let me tell you a few thoughts about fire. Everything it touches, it changes. It changes its shape, changes its nature, changes in its value. How do you think diamonds appeared? Where do you think oil comes from? Fire transforms the resource and makes something else out of it. I was trying to find out who said this. Somebody said this. It wasn't me. This is somebody much cleverer than I was. In about the 18th, 19th century, they made this quote. And the quote was this. In the book of Acts, in Acts 2, God set fire to the church and the whole Jerusalem came to watch it burn. It's a good phrase, right? I can't remember who it was. Andrew, it wasn't you. No, it wasn't Andrew. You're not old enough. It wasn't Andrew. This phrase is just running around my head. Is that God, in a moment of time, deliberately, with intention, had a group of people in the room, men, women, all kinds of people, and God just sent a fire and torched them, and the whole of Jerusalem came and watched them burn, and 3,000 people said, I want some of that. That's a great bonfire party. Who's typing? Is that? Who's typing? Is it you? Sounds like somebody typing. I thought, that is amazing. That's about 3,000 words a minute. I do about 200 words a minute and they all go blah, 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 blah. It's like, what? I'm like, not in English, just in tongues. So this early church was touched by the presence and the fire of God. Why? Because fire, as I said, changes the shape, the structure, the look, the nature. It purifies, it purges, and it seals. And I believe as Christians, let's not forget that when we gave our life to Jesus, that was just the beginning of the most exciting journey we will ever have. But God wants to seal everything about that journey, not on the journey, but at the beginning of the journey. So he gives you and me the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit comes like fire, and it purges our heart and changes the shape of us. It reconstitutes our DNA to look more like Jesus. But it seals in everything that we're going to do for God in the future. I'm getting excited by hearing this. I have no idea what's going on between your ears. But this is so exciting. We're called, we're chosen, we're touched by fire. In Mark 9:49, it says this, everyone will be salted with fire. Salted, not assaulted, salted. Because this church, like you, like me, we're here to flavor the world, to taste a little bit different, to be part of God's preservative, which is what salt did, but also to bring a measure of cleansing. If any of you had a paper cut and ended up, you know, when you perspire, you sweat in it and it goes, oh, lovely, like, thank you, Jesus, for that paper. Anybody like that? Because you're really weird people. But when you get a paper cut, it goes, ouch, right? No, it's not because there's water in it, it's because there's salt in it. But let me tell you, that salt is part of our body to bring cleansing. So the Holy Spirit came upon the people in Acts 2 to transform, to reform, to seal stuff in there, but also to make them salty. You are an assault on the world. But we're not a salt carrier so that people can say, oh, look, they're really salty. No, we're a salt seller. I'm going to play on words here now. Is that you and I are salt sellers. We were designed to be shaken by the Holy Spirit so salt comes out. Not just look pretty so that people say, oh, it's a pretty salt seller. And there's pepper with it. No, no, the Holy Spirit comes in, brings the salt, but also brings a shaking in it. So that in our lives, in the workplace or the home place or the marketplace or the church place, is that we say, God, shake me. Because there's salt within my heart, salt within my life that wants to bring flavor to the people around me. We had a little bit of a taste of that earlier. You know, who else at, you know, 30 minutes into the worship would say, let's go and hug all these sweaty people? That's you, right? Who else? It's a setup, isn't it? It's God's way of getting involved and getting the attention. And we find that the early church, they knew they were called and chosen. It didn't matter where they come from. It didn't matter what their job description was. They just suddenly realized that they were here for more than what they thought they were here for. Then suddenly this fire came and came upon each one of them, and it sealed them and changed them and transformed them and made them really salty. Woohoo! Look, turn to the person next to you and say, I am salty. Then we read at the end of Acts 2, 42 to 47, and this is kind of a challenge. It's a little bit of a litmus test. Because these people lived a different lifestyle than they'd learned. They began to move in an unlearned lifestyle. But it was a lifestyle that they were led into. It was unlearned. This lifestyle starts with an interesting little word in Acts 2:42. They devoted. This early church, the new church, our lives, yours and mine, are based around we are called and we're chosen. But what for? Not for me, but for you. I'm not called and chosen for what I'm called and chosen for. I'm called and chosen for what you're called and chosen for. That one was too complex. I'm not here for what I'm going to get out of it. I'm here for what I can give into what you're going to get out of it. So in this salting, God assaults my value system. And he says things like, not your will, but his will. That assaults my value system. He assaults my preferences. Well, I don't mind serving people that I like, but I don't want to serve people that I don't like. God says, no. I've assaulted that. You can't do that. I will say, well, if people are giving in the offering, then I'm going to certainly say, no, you can't do that either. God assaults my preferences and he assaults my prejudice. Because that's the church. We're called and we're chosen for what? To do everything God tells us to do. We're touched with fire so that we feel glowy? No. So that we look showy? No. So that we bring salt to anybody that needs it. We bring flavor into people's lives. We live a different lifestyle, not because we've learned it, but because we want to reach out to it. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything. There's a lot of big words there. All and everything are really big words. And what I love about being part of Kingdom Faith is we're learning what that looks like because we're letting God teach us. We're not learning it because we've come up with a 5-year plan. Well, when, you know, this, we've got to have that done and we've got to do this and we've got to have 2 buffets a month and, you know, we've got to have cupcakes. That's not what it's for. It's because we actually are a generous people. We're hospitable people. And hospitable people like spending time together. Don't we, Sharon? Excellent. So what we're doing is we're learning as church to live the lifestyle that the New Testament church had, but we're not trying to repeat it or copy it. Man, we just want to live for God. Don't we? How many of you want to live for God? If you're not sure, I can introduce you to Jesus. But we want to live for God. We want to live for a higher value system than we brought into the room. So God assaults our value system. He says things like, give him your coat. I've already given him a coat. Give your spare coat. Go the extra mile. But I've already put up with this bloke for so long. Go the extra mile and see what I'll do. Because what I've found in looking at the New Testament church is that you don't learn anything the first mile. You do learn it on the second one. You don't learn anything when you're giving away one coat. You learn it when you're giving away another one. That's going to be true for all of us. We don't learn what we need to learn when we just do enough. So the Holy Spirit makes us do more than enough. That's what these guys realized. They sold stuff and gave up stuff around. Not because they were trying to set up some kind of odd, you know, little house churchy thing where this didn't belong. No, but there was order in it. There was functionality in it. But the result was interesting. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I don't know about you, but that's my passion. This is February the 7th. We've had a lot of days already this year. I don't know about you, but I haven't seen somebody saved every day yet. But that's where God wants to take us. That's where the Holy Spirit starts from. That is not some kind of church over there somewhere that's seeing a move of God. I am in a move of God. So are you. That's not just for some church over there that's got it all together. We never get it all together. To see one person saved every day is normal for God. And we can blag it and say, well, you know, we're part of the body of Christ and there's one person getting saved somewhere in the world. Yeah, I know that, but I want to see them saved in Worthing. I want to see them give their lives to Jesus in Chichester. I want to see them give their lives to Jesus in Goring, in Portsmouth. I'm not interested in what God's salting over there. He's salted us here. You understand that? So it's great. We thank God for what he's doing. And then just another observation. There's two more. We'll have time to do these. It's healings, miracles, and supernatural provision were as common as breath. Healings, miracles, and supernatural provision were as common as breath. Because they're all added in to people had food, people were in the right place, and all kinds of miracles were done. But then it would be, wouldn't it? Because when Jesus sent the early kind of followers out, he said, go to every house, eat what's set for breakfast, and heal the sick. So if you don't like cornflakes, and you've given cornflakes, you still have to heal the person that is sick. If you like two lots of shredded wheat on your thingy, and only give you one, you still are supposed to heal the sick. And Jesus is reminding us of what I put in place with the 12. I multiply it through the thousands. It doesn't get less. It just gets bigger. So healings and miracles are just normal. No, we don't see many of them. That's why you don't see many of them. We've got to have him assault our head. Why not today? Well, we haven't had enough worship and I don't feel the goosebumps. I will give you goosebumps right now if you come up here. There's a power socket over there and I know how to use it. We do not get led by the spirit of goosebumps. We get led by the spirit of Christ. That's the whole point of the church here. They had no idea what they were supposed to do. And it comes up to food issues, distribution. Some of you that are administrative people, you'll be thinking, oh, they should have sorted it out. Yeah, you wouldn't have thought that then. Because then they'd have said, Jesus, help us. Show us what to do. You see, they weren't as smart as we think we are. We would have just put a few more spreadsheets out, a little bit more Excel spreadsheet, allocated a few more people in planning centre, la-di-la-di-la-di. What these guys said was, show us people who have great faith. Show us people who are full of the Holy Spirit and power. Their criteria for role description was different than ours. And I want to see that one here. Do you understand that? So job description is you are full of the Holy Spirit and you are full of power. Not because you go around saying, I'm full of the Holy Spirit, I'm full of power. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Oh, by the way, and what is it? Oh, yeah, full of power. Oh, yes, I can't die. It's that other people see your life and say, they're full of the Holy Spirit and they're full of power. Because these guys didn't come into their role because of self-testimony. They came into their role because of corporate testimony. They weren't self-elected. The people said, yeah, this guy's got it. This woman's got it. This person's got it. What do you mean? Well, look at the way they live. Listen to their language. Look at how God uses them. Are they any good at their job? Was not the first criteria. They might have been rubbish. But God says, no, 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 I can train that. I can use that. Are you still with me here? Because I'm excited about this, because I like the book of Acts. Because it's not the book of reacts, it's the book of Acts. This is not God reacting to the world. This is God acting in the world. I love the book of Acts. And I'm nicking some time now, and you need to forgive me. 3,000 people in one day give their life to Jesus. In the same chapter, a beggar that's been crippled for 30 years gets his walking back. How do I know it's 30 years? Because that's what they called young men then. Many miracles, signs and wonders, sick healed in every street, and all of them were healed, it says. Just a shadow of a salty, light-filled person falling on someone brings hope and restoration. I like shadows like that. If you're Norm, stop lying about your age. I know you know that one. The Shadows. Hank Marvin. What a legend in his own lunchtime. And then the fifth thing that I've noticed, and I kind of mentioned this a little bit already, is that their first tier of leadership is you. You are the first tier of leadership. It's you. It's not me. It's not our leadership team. It's not these guys because they've got 5 inches closer to Jesus. Or they're louder than you. No. You are the first tier leadership in the New Testament church. Because you're called. You're chosen. The fire of God has touched you somehow. You've been made salty for something. Healings are in you. Miracles are in your nature now. Supernatural provision follows you. That's why it's called provision. It's for vision. That's you. You are the first tier leadership of Kingdom Faith Church. It's you. It's not the person stood in front of you. It's the person stood inside you. You don't need a stage. Your platform is your size 9s or 6s or 5s if you're a lady. You don't need a congregation. You've got an audience. Home, family, workplace, marketplace, street place, neighborhood place. You've got your congregation. We've got all the ingredients that they had in the early church. What is it that we lack then? Thank you for that response. Nothing. In him you lack no good thing. Can I just turn that around then? If we don't have it, it's because it's not good. Well, I haven't got it yet. You don't need it then. I haven't got enough knowledge of the Bible. Yes, you have. You just don't need it. Here you have. The Bible says you lack no good thing. Well, if we don't have it, it's probably because it's not good then. But we position ourselves outside of the reality that we've been called and chosen for such a time as this. I know I've been called and chosen, but Lord, please wait until I'm sorted. God isn't that patient. He never waited until these guys were sorted. He just waited until they were willing. He won't wait until you or I are sorted and got our act together. The act is willing. He's not interested in whether we know all the Bible inside and out. He's interested in whether we do the last thing God says. He's not interested in whether we can come out with all the Hebrew and all the Greek countenance and words and we know. He's interested that we follow the Holy Spirit. That's why he gave the Holy Spirit. He's not interested in our view of the world. He's interested on his view of the world through us. Do you understand that? Yeah. And it revalues and rechecks. But they got themselves organized, their first year of leadership. They were full of wisdom, grace, power, the Holy Spirit. What qualified people? Prayer. What appointed people? Laying out of hands. What was the result? It says it in Acts 6, verse 7. The word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith, which always makes me chuckle. Let me just turn that last phrase, priests. Obviously, when it was written, it meant certain kind of priests. But today, you are a certain kind of priest. The Bible says that we're part of this tremendous community called the priesthood of all believers. So there is something about how I pray, how I worship, how I carry God, that God wants to change and transform, in touch with fire, make more salty. If it's true for me, it's true for you. This is a little journey through the book of Acts. We're on a journey. But don't put off in your head, one day I'll be ready. Today you need to be ready. It's not when I've got my life sorted out, God can use me. God will use you now. All he's looking for is a willing heart. He's not looking for Superman. Who wants to go around with their pants outside their trousers? and just find a phone box and go and hide in it. No, he's looking for people like you and like me, that he has put this supernatural grace, the person of the Holy Spirit in. He says, right now, just go where he says, do what he tells you, and let God do the rest. You're all up for this. We'll find out. Let's all jump to our feet. You've been very, very, very obedient. You've not been wriggling around on your seat. Well done. I know we've gone over time a little bit. I apologize for that a little bit. It's not something that we like to do. Just close our eyes together. Not close your eyes together, but let's close our eyes together because that would look really silly. I don't know if you have received the Holy Spirit or not. All I know is that it's a free gift to all who ask for it. All I know is that God is interested in everything. So not only did he put these people in place because they were spiritually charged and full, but also everybody got fed. Feeding the people was just as important as filling everybody with the Holy Spirit, because that's how God is. Everything that God does is supernatural. Everything. We're about to position, and we'll be doing this in a few weeks' time, and lay hands on some brand new life group leaders, small group leaders. Why are we laying hands on them? There's only one real reason. That's because they were willing to lead a group. They're no more special than anybody else. They're no more gifted than anybody else. They're no more anointed than anybody else. The only thing that marked them out is because they were willing. And we want to honor that willingness and position that willingness and pray for that willingness so that in that same willing heart, we'll be willing to follow them. You are probably the next batch of small group leaders. Well, I can't lead a small group. Thinking like that, you never will. But you can learn from others, which is how we learn most things. Follow the way of the Lord in them and learn from them. Let the Holy Spirit bring you to the front of where he wants you to be without becoming all proudful and silly. But the Holy Spirit is saying to you, you are my leader. You are my first person choice. You are called and chosen for such a time as this. Wherever you are, you're a person of influence. Let the Holy Spirit influence us more. Father, I want to thank you for your Holy Spirit right now. I thank you that we are in such a time of your moving, of your presence, of your favor. We thank you that we are saying to you, I'm saying to you, here I am, God, send me. I'm not going to depend on everybody else saying that. I want to take responsibility myself. And I'm saying, here I am, send me. I have no idea what it looks like. I just know that your power is made perfect through my weakness. I just know that your power will carry me through to the other side. And I thank you that in that, your church is built, your kingdom advances, people are fed, and people are blessed. I want to be someone like that, living on the front foot, not the back foot. And I give you the praise, and I give you the glory, and I give you the honor. I thank you that healings, miracles, and supernatural provision are in us. Are in us. Thank you for the fire. Thank you for the salt. Thank you for the opportunities. Thank you for the people this week that we're going to meet and transform and change and influence through the Holy Spirit. Thank you for every opportunity just to be a Christian in that environment. Use it. Be glorified in it. And bless people through it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's just give the Lord some praise, shall we?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.